Hey, it's Vince Marotta. Join us Wednesday starting at 6. We will get you mentally prepared for the last ride of the Arizona Coyotes in the Valley. Join us here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
That's funny. That's exactly what we're talking about here. And I imagine we'll be talking about it tomorrow, too.
The final ride.
Yeah. You've obviously been so close to this story and breaking it for the better part of the last couple of weeks or so. So I'm just curious. This note you sent me today, as we welcome everybody back into Burns and Gambo here on Arizona Sports, this note you sent me about a whiteout tomorrow, have you heard anything about that happening tomorrow?
Listen, it would be great. Like, it would be great. The whiteout was one of the truly great events that we had here, you know, in Phoenix. I'll never forget the first time with the whiteout. And that was back in the days when they played at America West Arena, and there was Keith Kachuk and Jeremy Roenick and Dally Drake and Nikolai Habibulin and Teppo Newman. And it was a terrific team. It was a really fun team with stars.
Yeah,
star power on that team.
Yeah.
Oh, star power. I'll never forget that whiteout. It was nothing like we've ever seen here in Arizona, and even in, you know, New York, I've had great. It was just different. It was different than anything I've ever seen. Everybody wearing white, everybody going crazy, white pom poms on the seats for every game. It would be. I know it's not a playoff game, and there are times when you're like, okay, tradition is. But you know what? This is it. This is the final hockey game in Arizona. They're leaving. They're going. Deal should be finalized today or tomorrow. Press conference on Friday with Bettman and Morello, and it's done and it's over. And if they can do a whiteout for the final game, and I will say this.
Mm-hmm.
Alex Morello and Javier Gutierrez and Gary Bettman did not want this story out. And I know this is a fact because, you know, as the person who broke the story, they wanted this to come out after the season. There's a part of me that's really glad that it did get out. There's a part of me that's really glad because it gives the fans a chance to say goodbye. It gives the fans to have the fans the chance to have the whiteout. There's a lot of anger and everything, but I know for a fact, being right in the midst of all of this, they wanted to wait until the season was over, and they were going to do it Thursday, April 18th. The press conference was going to be Thursday, April 18th. Now it's going to be Friday. But they didn't want it out, and it really shocks me that's the case. And maybe they were scared. They didn't want the blowback from the fans because they're seeing all the anger and hatred and everything now. But it does give the fans a chance to say goodbye to their team and to go out the way they want to go out.
Well,
it gives the players a chance to say goodbye, too.
Yeah, I mean, it gives... This is a good topic, and we're just kind of stumbling onto it right now. Good conversation. I think, by and large, I'd always want to know, like, this is it. Tell me this is the last time. Tell me this is the last one, right? Like, let me know this is going to be the last game I'm going to watch of this team and be able to experience this team, rather than the not knowing. I would feel like that level of pissed offedness, you know, not a word, but you know what I mean? That level of that you would have, as much as you might have it now if you're a Coyotes fan, can you imagine not knowing anything and the season just comes and goes?
Right.
And there's a press conference
that's
on Thursday
wanted.
And you're like, that's it? Right. And I think the level of piss offedness you would have had if you're a Coyotes fan would have been 10 times greater on Thursday with that than what we've had with your reporting for the last week and a half. At least you had a chance to kind of prepare yourself to say goodbye to this if it's a team that really meant something to you.
I think it does give you a chance to say goodbye. And, you know, again, you've had to deal with a week and a half of anger and being pissed off and questioning everything, but it does give the chance. Like, if they're able to pull this off with the whiteout, I think it'd be great. I think it would be great. I think, you know, the people I've spoken with in the Coyotes organization, and they've said, well, what can we do for this final game? What can we do? That's a great idea. Go get the white pom-poms. Go spend some money. Have them delivered. Put them on every chair. Put white T-shirts on every chair and have a whiteout. Why not? Final game, whiteout, and just let people enjoy it. You know, let the fans afterwards, you know, spend some time. Let the set up. You know, it's 4,000 people. Let the fans and the media. It's like you ever have a concert where there's a get together afterwards? Like, do that. You ever have a meet and greet at a concert in a small venue?
Sure.
Which is a couple thousand. Yeah, do that. Do a meet and greet with all the players. After the game is over, we're going to set up 7 or 8 tables. Everybody get in line and go take a picture or have an autograph signed by your favorite player.
But then that also speaks to something that, again, I also hadn't considered about tomorrow night. What's the mood going to be like in that building? Because it's, I don't think it's going to be all joy. I don't think it's going to be all celebration. I think there are going to be people in that building who are pissed off that they're leaving, you know, that are going to be angry. That's the last game. I don't, you know, a whiteout suggests celebration. A whiteout suggests gratitude or joy or whatever phrase you want to use. I don't know if that's how everyone's going to be feeling in that building tomorrow. They're going
to
be.
But why can't you just have that for 3 hours and then go back to, you know, being pissed off and mad and angry?
For three hours, just enjoy it. Because I mean, you're angry that they're leaving. Because you don't want them to go.
The players' fault?
No, I know. But you're not going to take it out on the players, but you're going to take it out on the organization. And you're going to, you know, it's not the players' fault in Oakland that they screwed that situation up with the A's and they're moving to Las Vegas. But that does not stop the fans there a second from taking that anger out on the players on the field or for the organization by not going to the games, right? It's the only way to express yourself. I don't know if the mood in tomorrow's building is going to be one of, hey, you know what? What a great run it was. This is awesome. Isn't it great the Coyotes were here for 26 years and now they're leaving us? Let's celebrate them. I don't think everyone's going to feel that way tomorrow. You might say everybody should feel that way tomorrow. I don't know if that's going to be the vibe in the building. I really don't.
I just wonder if you can turn off the hatred and the those feelings. Listen, as long as like Alex Morello and his son aren't like in the arena, like you don't want them there, and you don't want to show them on the screen, and because that's where the anger is gonna hit. The anger is gonna hit them.
Yeah,
like, you know, you can say what you want, but they lost control of the organization and it's gone. It's moved. It's out of here. But the players, I think, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. And maybe you're right. Maybe. I wonder if you could just turn it off for 3 hours and appreciate the players and the team.
Yeah, and I don't know if I'm right. I'm just thinking out loud, you know, about human nature and just, is it really reasonable to think that everybody in the building tomorrow is going to be cool with tomorrow night being the last game? I have a hard time believing that everybody's going to be like that. But maybe if there's some grassroots effort to organize like a whiteout among the fans, then maybe it will be a goodbye to the organization and a goodbye to the players. And maybe there will be a great kind of spirit and vibe in the building. It's hard to know. It's hard to know exactly what it's going to be like. I want to play this cut because it's good. This is Brian Burke, who is a longtime NHL executive. He was on Sportsnet 590 yesterday up in Toronto, and he said, I just don't understand what we're doing with this here, and I'll let him explain.
I think you should come with an air sickness bag, this whole saga. It's just ridiculous that a city of 6 million people is going to fold and move to a city with 1.5 or whatever Salt Lake City has.
Yeah.
1.3 I read yesterday. So getting ready for the show, 1.5. I also remembered Hartford was a team that you worked at, Nikki. 1.5 million, say it's 1.5. So we're gonna give up a marketplace of 6 million people for a marketplace of 1.5 million people where they've never had pro hockey other than the IHL. And some AHL teams that were there in the day,
yeah.
The IHL before that. Okay, that makes sense to anyone else? Because it doesn't to me. Doesn't to me. Make this guy sell a team, get a new team in the right location, and keep playing.
I don't know if it's that simple.
Utah was the fastest growing state in the United States from 2010 to 23. Total growth of 24% during that time. They'll sell out every game. They will. They'll sell out every single game. They'll support the team. 6 million and 1 million, what's the difference? I mean, you know, now part of the lack of support here is on the owners, not the fans. You got to put a good product on the ice, and they haven't put a good product on the ice. What have they made the playoffs? 5-6 times in their history here?
Yeah.
I mean, everybody makes the playoffs. How do you miss the playoffs 18 times in 24 years? How do you do that? Everybody makes the playoffs. So it's on the owners. If they would have put a better product on the ice, fans would have supported it more. But they will have support there because their owner will put money into the organization. They'll be more successful. They'll sign free agents instead of signing a bunch of guys that are retired just to hit the salary floor with players who aren't on a team anymore. Chris Draper. I mean, how many players the Coyotes have had on the roster who never played for them,
yeah,
but allowed them to like hit that seal, that floor that they needed to hit? Tons of them. Chris Pronger. So many players. You're not going to have that anymore. So the team will be better supported. The team will be better supported by the owner. And the fans, they don't have much there. They got the Jazz. They'll support it. They'll sell out every game. So I don't really buy the 6 million versus the 1.5 million. To me, you know, that is TV share and market share. I get that. But as far as like the fan base, they'll have no problem putting people in the seats there.
Yeah. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, in a way, the NBA playoffs begin tonight. So as a Suns fan, What are we watching for? What are we rooting for? Do we have any rooting interest in tonight's play-in games in the Western Conference? We'll talk about it next on the Burns and Gambo Show. Hey, it's Luke. What can we expect from Jordan Montgomery when he makes his Diamondbacks debut? We'll ask the guy who signed him. D-backs GM Mike Hazen joins us tomorrow at 11:45. It's Wolf and Luke on Arizona Sports.
Just lean into what we did well, understanding that they may make some adjustments in terms of their matchups. Just have a plan, a backup plan, and an escape plan once we see what, you know, what their response is to what we've done tonight. And so the chess game has been ignited. You know, we're all for it.
This is Darvin Ham, coach of the L.A. Lakers. Technically, they don't count as playoff games, but the playoffs basically start tonight with two Western Conference play-in games. The 7-8 matchup starts at about 4:30. It's going to be the Lakers, the Pelicans, then the Kings and the Warriors at about 7 o'clock tonight. The loser of that game is done. They are out. Their season is over. So the drama begins already, Gambo, when it comes to the playoffs.
Drama. Now, I'm really looking forward to the Lakers-Pelicans because in some ways it is a little bit of a mirror image of the Suns and the Timberwolves. The Suns beat the Timberwolves three games this season by a total of, 47 points?
Yeah, something along those lines. Okay. Yeah, it was a lot.
The Lakers played the Pelicans three times this year. They won all three matchups by a total of 77 points. So New Orleans has home court for this one. Well, Minnesota has home court for that one. The Suns won all three. They're going to Minnesota. The Lakers won all three. They're going to New Orleans. There's some similarities there. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how this goes. I mean, the Lakers handle business the way they have all year against them, or is this a different game? It should be a different game. It's the playoffs. The intensity is ratcheted up a whole lot, so it should be somewhat different. But, you know, I do want to see what's going to happen. Brandon Ingram's back. He had missed 12 games with that bruised knee, I think, is what he had. Terrific player. New Orleans has a lot of talent, but they've had a hard time dealing with Anthony Davis.
It is crazy to think, and I didn't realize this until I read one of the previews on this game, that even though tonight doesn't count as a playoff game, all right, it will not show up on anybody's basketball reference .com page as a playoff game. This is Zion Williamson's first extra game that he's ever played in his NBA career. That blew me away. And it makes sense. I mean, I just never really thought about it. But it's the first time he's played a game beyond the standard 82 in his NBA career. When you think about, you know, everything, you know, all the credit that he's gotten, all of the praise that he's gotten, all the talent that's there, to think that it took this long for him to play a game like this because of all the injuries and things like that. But then, of course, he's going up against LeBron James, and this is where it gets really, really interesting, because, you know, Mike Greenberg on ESPN. And I know sometimes people say stuff just to get a reaction, and I don't know whether they believe it or not. I don't know whether he actually believes this, but there are others who think the same thing, that it would actually be in the best interest of the Lakers to lose tonight to the Pelicans. I'll let Greenberg explain, and then we'll rip it for being stupid.
I'm going to say something in duck, because I know that it is controversial, and I know that it flies in the face of absolutely everything that the spirit of competition was born to create. And you just said, Herman Edwards, you play to win the game. The Lakers should not play tomorrow night. They should not play LeBron. They should not play AD. They do not want to be the 7 seed. You want to be the 8. I'm taking my chances in a one and done at home against either Sacramento or Golden State, and go in against the very young OKC Thunder in round one instead of going into the buzzsaw that is Denver. I think it is worth the risk.
Go, Gambo, go.
I almost can't believe that you have a microphone and you could be that dumb to say a comment like that. There's never in a million years are the Lakers not going to try to win this basketball game. You think they want to play again on Friday and then play again on Sunday with these guys? You think you want to take the chance in a one-game scenario against Steph Curry, if that's who they have to play, where Curry may go off for 50 and you're losing your app because you're trying to play? That is the dumbest thing that Mike Greenberg has ever said. It really is. And I'm actually, I wonder if he thought about it. Because it's even worse if he thought about it and said, I'm going to bring this up. Or if it was one of the spur-of-the-moment stupid ideas that you come up with on a whim. But it is one of the truly dumbest things that anybody has said. It's probably got to be the dumbest thing that he's ever said. There's not a snowball's chance in hell that the Lakers are thinking, oh, let's lose this game, and then we'll play Friday, and then if we win, then we'll turn around and play Sunday. No chance in hell that that is even a possible, remote possibility. So dumb.
I agree with everything you said. I will say this, though. Okay, I will, and I'm not trying to defend Mike Greenberg at all. Not one bit. But in this preview that I'm reading right now on the league's official sanctioned website, NBA.com, even they bring it up. Quote, there has been some noise about the Lakers possibly managing their play-in logistics in a way to avoid finishing number 7 and facing repeat tormentor Denver in the first round. So as dumb as it might be, I don't think he's the only one who is at least wondering, hey, would the Lakers be better off losing this game? Would they be better off being 8 and playing Oklahoma City? It's
these people. It's unbelievable how dumb these people are.
I know, but it's not just him. I think there are others. And the fact that
I can't believe that there are others that are this dumb.
NBA.com, the league's website, saw fit to bring this up as part of their preview of tonight's game. Made me wonder, like, how many people are actually thinking about this? How many people are talking about this?
You want to play
like,
two elimination games instead of one?
Yeah.
And you want to have to go play again Friday and then go play Sunday? You want to play Friday night and then play Sunday afternoon in a basketball game when you've got LeBron James at 40 years old?
All because you're trying to avoid Denver? I mean, are you really that desperate to avoid them? Look, it makes no sense to me either. I think Greenberg's off his rocker on this one. I really do. But I don't think he's the only one who's suggesting like this could be a thing. Then, of course, the other game tonight is the elimination game. And this one's weird because the Kings and the Warriors, it's a rematch of the 7-game series they played a year ago. We talked about that earlier in the show. The Warriors won Game 7 on the road in Sacramento. Steph Curry had 50 in that game. These two teams, they haven't played since January 25th.
Yeah, look at the score of that game.
It's been a 134-133 Sacramento Kings win in Sacramento. The difference here to me is that Malik Monk is out. Kevin Huerter is out. And Sacramento's been reeling, and Golden State has been going in the opposite direction. This one feels fairly easy, given the pedigree on one side of the basketball and the way things have been trending, to kind of predict how this thing is going to go tonight. And it's kind of hard not to believe the Sacramento Kings season is going to come to an end tonight, I think.
Kevin Huerter and Malik Monk, they combined, they averaged about 24 points in the season series. So you're going to take those points out, they don't have them. I mean, for Golden State, if they're hitting their shots, and they're going to win, and if they're not, they're going to lose. I mean, I think it comes down to that. Sacramento's one of the weirdest teams in the NBA to me. They really are. They can get up by 25 and lose a game. They can get down by 25 and make a comeback. They're just such an odd team. They play at a fast pace, so that allows those big leads or big deficits to just go away really quickly. I haven't liked them all year. I really haven't liked them all year. So they'll probably win tonight. they'll probably win tonight. I would never pick them because I don't trust them at all. Even if Monk and Huerter were there, I still wouldn't pick them because I've seen this team blow too many leads and choke at the end of basketball games, and they just did it against the Suns the other day.
One other note from the NBA, and then we'll take a break so we can talk to Kellen on the other side. Ty Lue said today, for that series between the Mavs and the Clippers that starts this weekend, Kawhi Leonard is participating in some of practice today, and the Clippers will ramp him up with the hope of playing in Game 1 on Sunday. Ty Lue said Kawhi Leonard is not fully practicing today, but will do some stuff for the Clippers in practice today, for what it's worth.
That's going to be a hell of a series.
It is. Let's see how much he plays. Let's see how effective he is when it comes time to that. All right. As we promised, he's turned on the film. He started to break down the Suns' first-round opponent. The first of his previews of the Suns and Timberwolves is available right now at ArizonaSports.com. Our Suns guru, Kellen Olson, going to tell us what he's seeing about this matchup next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Arizona Sports, the local sports leader. Suns insider Kellen Olson joins Burns and Gambo to talk Phoenix Suns basketball.
Hey, Kevin. Kellen Olson, Arizona Sports. Nice to meet you. Welcome to the Valley.
Can you say it again?
I'm Kellen. Welcome to the Valley. Nice to meet you.
Courtside with Kellen. Brought to you by Southwest Gas. Committed to exceeding expectations today while innovating sustainable solutions for tomorrow.
Our weekly visit with Kellen Olson, our Suns guru. Tomorrow, we've got a different schedule with the day game for the Arizona Diamondbacks, so we have moved Kellen to today, as his previews for the Suns-Timberwolves series have already begun to hit at ArizonaSports.com. How many of those bad boys are you going to write?
Four is the plan right now.
Four is the plan?
Right? Four.
Yeah. We'll, I read the first one today.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was good work, as always. It's available at ArizonaSports.com. Well, one per day, basically, for the rest of the week?
We'll see how today goes, but it might be tomorrow.
Okay.
Like, it's 3:32 and I haven't gotten a lot into it yet, unfortunately, as much as I want to, but we'll see how it goes. Yeah, but I love this time of year. There's so many different dynamics to every matchup, and this one's particularly interesting to me.
It is, and I think I said the other day, out of the five teams that are rated ahead of the Phoenix Suns, the only one that you kind of said, okay, I really do want to play this team, is Minnesota. I don't think you could have said that about Oklahoma City or Denver, the Clippers, the Mavericks. I don't think you could have said that about those teams. But this has been a good matchup for Phoenix all year long. What are some of the things you like about this matchup?
It's how exploitable they are, Gambo, and I think with that in mind, it's the too big look that they like to use and how much that's going to allow Phoenix's primary scorers to get decent windows. Like in that game, that last game of the regular season, you saw Devin Booker and Bradley Beal coming around screens ready to shoot threes right away. Gobert or Towns are going to be in drops a lot of the time when they're that five man, so you're going to be able to come around and get into a jumper if you want to, and if you have the ball screen come high enough, you're going to be able to drive around both of those guys because they're not necessarily the most nimble, particularly Gobert. But the thing that I like the most, Gambo, has been their success in limiting Anthony Edwards over these three games. That's the next preview coming. That's probably on the site tomorrow morning. And they have been able to employ a base defense that has probably been their most successful this year with just cutting off his avenues to drive and really limiting the space that he finds around him. And Edwards, at this point of his career, he's a tremendous player, don't get me wrong. But as a playmaker, he's still got some steps to go. He's still only 22 years old, and that's kind of like, it's going to be a big put up or shut up moment for Edwards in particular, because he's probably going to need to be a guy putting up 5-6 assists per game in this one, or he's going to need to get a lot more help. Burnsy and I are the two biggest Naz Reid fans on the planet, but he's basically been a no-show in these three meetings. Cat's been in and out. It's been tough for them to find the requisite offense that they need to hang in this series.
I've noticed with Anthony Edwards, when they close off those driving lanes, how frustrated he gets, that sometimes he forces up bad shots because he's still wants to score and he can't get to the lane. He can't get to the lane to score. So they'll cut those lanes off and then you'll see him just force up a bad shot. Rebound by the Suns, they go the other way. I've seen that many times. They've been able to frustrate him like that.
Absolutely. And I think one of the things that I've started to dive into with him is that I look through all of his baskets from those three games and only one of them was basically set up by a teammate. Monte Morris found him roaming around the baseline, and then he had that dunk on Eubanks in the April 5th matchup. But other than that, it's been entirely self-creation, and that's something where you look at Booker and Durant and Beal, they set up each other a lot more, and Edwards doesn't really have that dynamic with them right now. I think this is going to be a huge Mike Conley series because they need someone else off the dribble to go. I mean, when you think about the guys off the dribble for their team, Ant's first, and then it's probably Naz Reid and Karl Anthony Towns after that who are bigs. So you need someone to really get the gears spinning, and that's where Mike Conley is going to be have a huge factor on offense. Although on defense, he's going to be the guy the Suns are picking on the most outside of Towns. So yeah, he's a huge part of this.
You had mentioned in today's preview that you thought Mike Conley might end up being the real X factor in this series as a guy to kind of get Minnesota's offense out of the mud a little bit if it gets into the mud with Anthony Edwards. But I want to talk to you about something that you wrote about in today's story as well, and I think you ended the piece with it. We can sit here and do the X's and O's thing and really talk about what you're so good at, the fine tuning of the matchup and how it's going to work, but just from a sheer mental confidence standpoint, how does that play into a series like this when the Suns look across the court and they go, yeah, that's a team we've kind of, we know how to play you, right? How far does that go in something like this?
I think it goes a good ways. We were talking about it going into the Dallas series. You'll remember how the Suns pretty much dominated that matchup. So we've seen this before go the other way. But I will say for this team specifically, you could see on the floor within the last month when they were losing their confidence, when they didn't have it. And they are going to be confident in this matchup. Now, is it going to be a good thing for this team? Is it going to be a detriment to this team based on the way we've seen them handle matchups when they think that they're the better team? Game one is going to tell us a ton about this series, I think. If the Suns come out the way that they have at all in any of these three games against Minnesota, we are going to have a highly competitive series. But if we see the Suns start to make some mistakes and you can tell that they're not really connected still, that's when it could start to get ugly because Minnesota will definitely pounce.
Kellen Olsen joining us in studio for his weekly segment. I want to ask you about Bradley Beal and from your perspective, the evolution that we've seen Bradley Beal go through, not even over the course of the season, just over the course of these last 10 games where the Suns went 7-3. What different roles do you feel like Bradley Beal has taken on and how is his role with this team evolved even over the last 2 weeks for the Suns?
It's been ever-changing for him, and I think that the thing that he has done so well is adapted based on what they've needed. Now, where the balance and how they've been tipping the weights in that kind of way in the last couple of days has been interesting because he's become a 20-plus shot guy now all of a sudden. When we were talking about him earlier in the month, it was 9 shots, 11, 12, and then he took 20-plus, I believe, against Minnesota. And for them to have that ability to go to that when if Brad is looking good in the first quarter like he was, roll with him in the fourth quarter, have him carry you through this stretch. It's huge for them to have that from him. And then something James Jones shouted out today was Beal's defensive effort. I think that everything that he's been able to figure out in terms of his usage and stuff, he's been able to benefit more on defense and using his legs a lot more over there than he normally would. He has not been even a negative on defense, I would say. Like, he's been able to hang, and that's a huge part of what they've been able to do and improve on over the course of the season.
I think one of the big things is they're very healthy right now going into the playoffs, and you look at Kevin Durant and the amount of time that he played. But the one that really stands out to me, I think, is Yusuf Nurkic. And we're going to have him on the show in a little while. But, that was one of the knocks on him when he came over here was, he's always hurt. He doesn't play a lot of games. I mean, his availability this year was, tremendous. 76 games started. 76 games played for Yusuf Nurkic. He hasn't played that many games since 2017, 2018.
Yeah, you would have set the over-under probably like 55, 60 for him in terms of games played.
Not where I would have set it.
Somewhere around there, and him hitting 75-plus, huge accomplishment, and he's been so integral to what they do, both on offense and defense. In the story coming tomorrow, a big part of what they've been doing with Anthony Edwards has been Nurkic's mobility to get out there and block the immediate driving lane right away, so Ant seeing a body as soon as he comes around a ball screen, and Nurk getting back to his spot after his teammates cover for him. Like, he has been... I get it. Like, we talked about this when he got here. I was like, guess what, everyone? DeAndre Ayton was frustrating. Yusuf Nurkic is going to be frustrating. Like, he's going to miss bunnies around the rim. He's going to have a couple of mistakes with his turnovers here and there. But overall, he has been incredibly solid for this team, has his highs and lows like any other player. And he's been a huge part of what they do. They cannot afford to not have him on the floor at any point this postseason.
I was just going to say, safe to say, and probably too obvious to point out, but I'll point it out anyway, him staying out of foul trouble, especially important in this series? I mean, generally overall it is, but especially important in this series?
Yeah, I think one of the worries that I have for the Suns in this series is when Naz Reid starts to figure his stuff out because the backup 5 minutes have been shaky all year. Yeah. And that's when Naz Reid is going to get on the floor. That's when I think Anthony Edwards is going to start to find a little bit more room. I like the way that their offense works a lot more when Kyle Anderson is out there and he'll come off the bench and give them another guy to kind of move the ball around. So those are huge minutes, I think, for sure.
Yeah. All right, Kellen. So today or maybe tomorrow, part two of your preview, we're expecting a four-parter. And then, of course, you're traveling to Minnesota this weekend. So you'll have all the
prediction.
What is your prediction?
What's your prediction?
Wolves in six.
I'm sorry?
Wolves in six.
Wolves in six?
Ooh. Minnesota in six.
Ooh. Minnesota in six. I need to see the consistency. I know that the last 10-game stretch has been really great, but there were some bumps there, just like there has been this entire season. You need to be incredibly consistent to win a playoff series, and until I see that level of consistency, I can't pick this team to win. Guess what? If I see it in the series, I'm probably going to pick them in the next round, but I haven't seen it yet. This 2-game sample was great. What happened in the last 2 games before that?
Yeah, like, I'm sorry. The Clippers. Okay.
I'm sorry. I think it's a great matchup for them, and I think it's basically a coin flip, but ultimately I have Minnesota. Anthony Edwards has been... Anthony Edwards, a quick stat before I get off the mic here. 25 points per game or more. 21 years old or younger. The guys to do it, LeBron, Luka Doncic, Anthony Edwards. That's it.
Yeah.
He's been the guy in the postseason. I think he's going to bounce back a lot. And I've got Minnesota just with how physical this series is going to get, but I'm ready to be wrong. Hey, guess who picked them to the Lakers to beat them in round one in 2021? I did that too. I'm wrong all the time.
That's all right. That's all right. We respect you no matter what. Kellen, we appreciate it.
You stammered. You were like, I'm sorry?
I shocked everyone.
You did.
You said it. You said it so fast. I'm like, did he just say Wolves? Yeah, he said Wolves. Kellen, we appreciate it. Thank you very much. Kellen Olson joining us here in studio. His preview's coming up and continuing at ArizonaSports.com. When we continue here on the Burns and Gambo Show, he and the rest of the Suns have a big test in Minnesota this weekend, and our next guest may have the biggest challenge of them all. How will Yusef Nurkic manage against Minnesota's big men? We'll ask Nurk next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Home of the Suns. Arizona Sports, the local sports leader. Coming off the court, you hear it straight from a Suns player with Burns and Gambo. Brought to you by America Roofing, Arizona's number one roofer, online at AmericaRoofingCo.com. For a free estimate or 10% off any roof repair, that's AmericaRoofingCo.com.
Back here on the Burns and Gambo Show, Arizona Sports, the local sports leader. Suns on the practice floor today, getting ready for their first round playoff series against the Minnesota Timberwolves. And we do this segment every single week, and we've had the pleasure of having our next guest on a couple of times this season, and it's a pleasure to welcome him back to the Burns and Gambo Show. Joining us right now, Yusef Nurkic, Suns center, who joins us here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader. Nurk, welcome back to the show. Thanks for your time, man. We really appreciate it. How you doing today?
Man, I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
You know, Nurk, I'm a hot-headed Italian, a former boxer. I got a short leash, and I like to stick up for myself, too. I like to defend myself from the trolls. So I loved what you did with that tweet to Bill Simmons, developing, "You're an ass." That was fantastic. Tell me about that and why you decided to clap back.
Man, I don't know. It just felt like I was running a Twitter or X now. And, you know, there's a "for you" thing there. And for some reason, it just popped out to my eyes. And I'm like, they started all these conversations in Minnesota. And he's like trying to make something that Bill started. And I'm like, bro, we'll be developing whatever it is. But it just was so, you know, I didn't expect people to try to make a big deal from us, but we didn't. He was not part that we started.
Yeah. Any beef?
They
is there any, like,
I guess they was losing.
Yeah. Any beef? Like, do you guys have, like, a long-standing beef, the two of you? Does anything go back a few years with you and Bill?
Man, I don't know. Like, I personally, I don't have a personal problem with no one. You know, I don't even know who it is. So
nothing specific. Yusef Nurkic is our guest here at the Burns and Gambo Show. For you, your first playoff run now, I just looked it up a second ago, since I think 2021. So just in general, what your kind of anticipation for this thing to start on Saturday and your level of excitement now that it's finally here and you get to see what's under the hood for this playoff run with this team?
I mean, super excited, honestly. You know, just being healthy, never take for granted. You know, having my few years in the playoffs when I was injured, dealing with that. So I'm super glad that our team is healthy and having, you know, that's our, you know, number one goal going through this season. But also glad 82 games to be ended, and now we can, you know, focus why we all start this season.
Was there something specific that you did to allow yourself to be as healthy as you were this year? Something different, something about your routine that you changed? Because obviously you just mentioned it a second ago, you have to be very happy about the number of games that you played for the Suns this year.
Yeah, no, nothing specific, man. Just, I guess, being in a Suns helps a little bit. Vitamin D. But everything else, you know, take care of themselves.
Let's talk about this matchup. You guys are 3-0 against them. You've had a lot of success. How different do you expect the playoff games to be compared to what we saw in the regular season?
I mean, regular season doesn't mean anything. 0-0, so it doesn't count those three wins for us. I've been a part with the Blazers that, you know, we was losing, I think, 4 against Oklahoma City. And we beat them, so I don't think the regular season matters as much for us or for them. But we know what kind of team we have, and we don't care that we don't look at how we beat them 3 times, and now we're going to go, no, it's going to be 0-0 and going to their home. great game, and you know, that's a really good team out there, having a really successful year with a great, you know, president. And they're a really good team. So we give them respect, but at the same time, we come in ready to play.
Anthony Edwards has been a terrific player all year, but you guys have done a nice job of shutting him down, limiting his opportunities. What's the key to success against a player like Anthony Edwards?
Just try to play team defense as much as possible. Try to make it hard on him, extra physical. And wherever we go, I mean, wherever he go, we try to have a shadow on him. Like five players, you know, see him all the time where he is. I think that's really making it difficult for him to be in the open floor, and he really loved the space, you know, just attacking the rim. So I think we did a great job these, you know, regular games. But, you know, it's going to be a new challenge. You're going to be excited. You're going to be motivated, especially after, you know, we beat them like it's any season. They're going to be even more motivated to show that they can play with us. So we'll be ready, I promise you that.
Yusef Nurkic, our guest here on the Burns and Gambo Show, talking Suns T-Wolves, which is coming up on Saturday, Game 1. When the three matchups this year, but obviously you and Rudy Gobert go back a long, long way. When you think about your matchups with him, and when you think about this matchup with him, what are some of the things that you want to work on? What are some of the things you're trying to accomplish when you're going up against Rudy Gobert specifically, Nurk?
I mean, I came here with the mindset, whatever team needs, I do. So if they take a last shot, rebound, defend. So I don't really take in one-on-one matchups like that. It's more what our team needs to do to get a win. You know, like you said, he's a really good player. But at the same time, if Rudy scored 20, that means somebody else is not going to score. So Rudy, 20 points, not going to beat us, respectfully. But at the same time, he's a really, you know, impactful player. Like you said, probably defensive player of the year too this year. So I give him the respect. But at the same time, we know who we got in our locker room and, you know, ready to, you know, beat against him.
Is this Suns team playing their best basketball of the year right now?
Yes, sir. You know, I think there's no argument about that. Everybody can agree on that. You know, it's a really good time to be in at your best, healthy. Like I said, I think our main goal was to be healthy, and I think we, you know, fight really hard to get that sixth seed but not being playing, so we can, you know, even having week off not playing, I think that's helped everybody.
What difference have you seen in the way Bradley Beal approaches a game now compared to 2 months ago, 3 months ago, 4 months ago? What has changed with how Bradley Beal has fit in with this roster?
Him, but I know what changed in mine, you know, conversation with him. That's why, you know, I give him all these, you know, he has to be a player from get-go. As soon as he got out of the gates, you know, he should have on him, try to hide, you know, because, you know, we attack him through the KD or book, and they put a player on him just to rest, I think. Always, every game we start, I'm telling him, just be aggressive. As soon as you catch that ball, like, be Bradley Beal who you are. And that's a, like, really impactful player offensively. And especially his challenge this year was tremendous from us as the players and coaches, like, to guard best player. He doing that, he really guard, he really compete, you know, on-ball defender and, you know, score. That's a hard task to do in this league. And he really do it at the highest level. So I think he's healthy, number one. Finally, that he feel, you know, under the, you know, these legs, and, you know, just to be healthy, helping a really good confidence back.
Yeah. Nurk, really good stuff. We always appreciate the conversation. We appreciate you carving out a few minutes for us. Best of luck this weekend and in this series against Minnesota, and hopefully we'll talk to you soon, okay?
Thank you so much. How was everyone, man?
Yeah, you too. Yusef Nurkic, our guest here on the Burns and Gambo Show, as the Suns and the Timberwolves Game 1 is coming up on Saturday. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo Show, just like that, it's 4 o'clock, which means we got to get you caught up on what's going on in sports. The 4 o'clock reset is right around the corner here on the Burns and Gambo Show.